the Crossbreed Holster Studios.
What kind of person possesses no means to defend either himself or his family?
Annoying, gun-grabbing liberals from coast to coast.
You know, what do they need all those bullets for?
He's the loudest voice in America fighting for gun rights.
No caveman in his right mind would have ever left his cave without his club.
This is Armed American Radio.
Now, your host, Mark Walters.
In the Crossbreed Holster Monster Studios. How the heck are you doing today? Coast to coast, from those toasty beaches of South Florida all the way to those crab fishing vessels of Alaska. You know, we've got some growth. I'm going to say, hey, WVFT, Freedom 93.3 FM, Tallahassee, Florida. You are tuning in, and I am filling your prescription for freedom here on the Armed American Radio Network from the Crossbreed Holster Studios, just a tad bit north of you, Love you down there in Tallahassee. We love you guys. Freedom 93.3. Welcome to the show. Great to have you here. WKOT FM, Waimama, Florida. Yeah. You know where Waimama, Florida is? A little bit southeast of Tampa, a little bit northeast of Sarasota, right around Sun City Center and that area down there. Waimama, Florida, you're tuning in. Not only are you tuning into this monster broadcast, but you are also tuning into the daytime show. Listeners on Waimama, down in Waimama on WKOT, can also tune into Armed American Radio's Daily Defense, 6 o'clock to 7, Monday through Friday, every day, and get your fix of freedom, as we're talking about filling your prescription for freedom and the right to bear arms. And also, Big Talker, 96.5 FM, The Answer in Little Rock, Arkansas. Welcome to the program. Great to have all of you with us. There's more. I've probably left a few out. I do apologize, but when I get the reports, I'll let you know. Sometimes I don't see them right away, but I do want to let you know that. Hey, we have a huge, not just a huge hour right now, but a huge program for you today. I'm really excited about this. Mr. Gottlieb from the Second Amendment Foundation will be here in just a second. He's actually here, but I'll bring him on in just a second. Following him, David Keene. Now, this is going to be a huge hour. Two powerhouse figures, two of the most important men in our history, quite frankly, fighting for gun rights. Men who have dedicated their lives and their careers to see to it that you can exercise your right to keep and bear arms, as our founders intended. And we will have an amazing discussion with both individuals in just a second. In the second hour of the broadcast, AWR Hawkins, my political analyst from Breitbart News, will be here. And then we've got a lot of fun for you. KQAM listeners, the Big Talker out in Wichita, Kansas. You guys have got a really popular talk host out there, Andy Hoosier, the voice of reason. Now, you're listening in Kansas right now on the Big Talker in Wichita, booming out all over the state. Big, big FM signal out there, and also on 1480 AM, and I believe the FM simulcast now. So great to have you guys with us as well. And Andy will be here to really just have some fun. And you hear me go back and forth with Andy all the time. Every couple weeks, I join him on the Voice of Reason. So we're thrilled to have Andy on the Big Monster broadcast today. So we're going to get this party started. We're going to fill your prescription for freedom for the next few hours here on Armed American Radio's MonsterCast. Welcome to all the new listeners around the country, right around 200 radio stations. A real honor to be here. And boy, oh boy, ooh, if you've been following the news, it's tough, isn't it? I got to be honest with you, I'm having a difficult time watching it anymore. I know you probably feel, well, I know you do. I feel your frustration. I see your emails. But I got this email, and I'll start, I'll use this as an introduction to Alan Gottlieb. I got this from Robert yesterday, about 10.04 p.m. He says, Mark, I've been listening to you for a couple of years. I was born and raised in New York City, Queens, in 1958, but became a strong Second Amendment supporter in college in Louisiana. I was hooked the first time I shot a handgun in 1976, a Ruger Security 6. I currently reside in the somewhat free state of Washington, 6 miles from Alan Gottlieb's office. Life member of the Second Amendment Foundation here. You convinced me to join. Shameless plug. He says he owns the City Fish over in the Pike Place Market. He says, whenever I listen to the Sunday show and podcasts of the Daily Show, I'm either cleaning guns after a trip to the range or I am reloading ammo. Today, due in part to the upcoming election, I took home a customized PWS AR-15. Thanks for a great radio show. Not all of us are like Bloomberg. I am more like Alan Gottlieb. And that was from Robert Shapiro in Renton, Washington. Robert, great email. Thanks for sending it in. And I use that as an introduction to Mr. Gottlieb. Alan, welcome to the show. Great to have you here, my friend, as always.
Great to be back with you. And I want to thank Robert for his very kind words. And he doesn't know it, but I'm one of his customers. City Fish. It's a really great place in Pike's Marketplace. It's been there for years. It's an institution. Anybody visiting Seattle and Pike's Marketplace should definitely go by this place. It's amazing.
Now, is that the place they're throwing stuff around?
No, it's actually just down the corridor from them. There's three major fish markets, or fishmongers, you could call them, in the Pike's Place Marketplace that have been there for fixtures for years and years and years, and he's the one in the middle.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what, you just told him. Now he knows, and I'm sure he's thrilled. That was a great email, and it was uplifting, and I know when I sent you that earlier today, you got it, and it made your day, it made my day. It's fun to get emails like that, Alan, it really is.
Well, it helps recharge your batteries and give you the energy to go fight the gun grabbers for the next week. I love it. Thank you very much.
Yeah. It really does, and sometimes those batteries need plugged in. Man, oh, man, what are you thinking so far in this crazy elections? What are you thinking? What's Alan Gottlieb think about what we're seeing?
Well, let's say it's obviously, everybody knows it's the craziest election we've seen in our lifetime. It's scary if, Hillary Clinton has the White House and has control of the courts. I mean, our Second Amendment rights are in jeopardy like they've never been before. I mean, her email, WikiLeaks disclosed, show she's after us. Her public statements show she's after us. We have a sworn enemy of gun rights, potentially in the White House. It's not a fun time right now. And likewise, a lot of our good pro-gun, members of the Senate and the House of Representatives and various state legislatures are being challenged a lot with money being poured in by Bloomberg and Gabby Gifford's PACs to try and defeat our pro-gun people. They're outspending us, astronomically. It's in some places it's 8-1 we're being outspent, not to mention the ballot measures going on in a number of states who are being outspent as high as 12-1 in some of them. It's scary times for gun ownership right now. We've really got to stick together. And like I tell people at the Gun Rights Policy Conference, it's ready, aim, vote. And we've got to make sure that everybody we know who supports gun rights gets to the polls and cast their ballot.
And take somebody to the polls. And get somebody. If you have whatever you have to do, you have to do. Now, Alan, you know me very well, and I tend not to take a lot of stock in what the mainstream media tells us. And, boy, I'll tell you, I mean, they're exposed, for the whole world to see. We know now there's absolutely no defending their actions relative to the pushing of an ideological agenda, which they're clearly doing. They're clearly siding with and covering for Hillary Clinton. And, here we've got thousands and thousands of emails to peruse through. I've read a ton of them. I can't even get halfway through them. I'm just simply not enough time to do it. But the ones that I have read are incredibly damaging to her. And I feel this is a confident statement that if it weren't Trump running, these would be a lot bigger deal than they are, right?
Well, yes and no. I mean, yes, there's no doubt that I think you're right. If it was another candidate besides Trump running, it's Hillary Clinton. Media would be paying more attention to this rather than attacking Donald Trump, so to speak. But on the other hand, the media is giving an awful lot of cover to Hillary Clinton because they love her agenda. And, they could be covering some of this anyway, and they're choosing not to. It's, no matter who the Republican candidate is going to be, the media is not going to be exactly fair and even and unbalanced. With Donald Trump, it tilts a little bit more, I think.
Have you ever seen it this bad as far as the media is concerned? I never have in my 54 years of existence. I've never seen it like this ever.
Julianne, my wife and I were just talking about this the other day. We always look at each other and laugh. Every election, we always say it's worse than the time before. But you know something? This time it really is.
No, it truly is. I don't think the media is in trouble right now. Regardless of the outcome of the election, the mainstream press in America is now doing the bidding of the liberal state. And should Hillary Clinton, God forbid, win the White House, the media has been exposed. So this fight doesn't end. On November 9th, Americans aren't just going to say, okay, well, I'm glad that's over. Huh? Let's go have a donut. It's not going to be that simple. We're going to be very ugly on November 9th, I'm afraid, regardless of the outcome of the election. Alan, we're going to take
real quick. Go right ahead. I think the media, quite honestly, has done a lot of damage to themselves by doing all this and is no longer respected at all by the vast majority of the American people.
Yeah, that's the problem that they face and how they're, I don't think they can dig out of it. I don't know how this is going to manifest itself long term, but when you take into consideration people's faith and really faith in the FBI now shaken as an institution because of the actions of Comey, the failure of the press to cover certain things, clearly pushing an ideological agenda that is really out of the mainstream of America. This is very, very damaging to the country. And as we talked about in a private conversation, it is going to manifest itself somehow. Just really don't know how. We can speculate, a lot of theory, a lot of conjecture, but we're certainly going to see it take place after the January 20th, the inauguration. Alan, we're getting ready to take a break. When we come back, I got to fly through about two or three things with you, not the least of which is the case in the Mariana Islands, very favorable ruling out there, and Remington, case up there where, of course, Hillary Clinton, this is a great example of what she wants to do. She's made statements about it, and I'm talking about Remington and a few others. The small, let's just say, I'm going to run out of time. Favorable ruling in Connecticut. We'll explain it with Alan Gottlieb when we come back. Don't go away. It's going to be a dynamite show.
Imagine you're walking through a parking lot at dusk. You're with your children. As you approach your car, you see a large man closing in. Something seems wrong. Something is wrong. You calmly move in front of your kids and turn towards the attacker. Your mind flashes back to everything you've learned. The man is now 30 feet away. You don't make a move yet, but you can feel the weight of your 9mm on your hip. You hear yourself confidently issue the command, "Stay back!" And then it happens. The attacker understands what only criminals can comprehend. He has picked the wrong target. He quickly turns around. "What's wrong?" says your child as you get in the car. "Nothing. Nothing's wrong, honey. Everything is fine." Get a gun and master its use. The Self-Defense Shield from the USCCA will help you understand gun safety and self-defense. The USCCA Self-Defense Shield gives you education, training, and a tenacious legal defense. It's your path to become a responsibly armed American. Discover how a gun and your family are the perfect fit. Visit freegunguide.com. That's freegunguide.com.
The revolutionary Crossbreed Super Tuck holster is the most comfortable and concealable inside the waistband holster you'll ever wear, and nothing even comes close. Designed to completely conceal a firearm of any size and made to be worn with any attire, from shorts and a t-shirt to a suit and a tie. Based on your personal carry style, the Super Tuck may be worn comfortably with or without your shirt tucked in. Find out why the Crossbreed Super Tuck is the most often imitated but never duplicated holster design in the world. Visit CrossbreedHolsters.com today.
From Crossbreed Holsters comes the Women's Appendix. With softer leather and smoother corners, the Women's Appendix holster was designed specifically with the female body in mind. This holster is intended for popular small firearms and has no cant, so it can be worn on the front side of the body. Featuring a Crossbreed hand-molded pocket for a perfect fit, we ensure the Women's Appendix is your answer for any woman who wants to carry a small firearm in a front position. This versatile holster can be worn in the standard appendix or cross-draw fashion. Find your perfect fit today at CrossbreedHolsters.com.
Hillary Clinton plans on riding into the White House on the backs of women, but this won't be the first time she used women to get ahead. Her Clinton Foundation pays key women 63 cents for every dollar key men make. Men also make up her top 8 highest paid employees, and she paid her female Senate staff 28% less than men made.
Say that again.
Her Clinton Foundation pays key women 63 cents for every dollar key men make. Men also make up her top 8 highest paid employees, and she paid her female Senate staff 28% less than men made. If you're a woman, don't pay attention to what Hillary Clinton says. Pay attention to what she pays. Put an end to Hillary's war on women.
Say that again.
Put an end to Hillary's war on women.
Paid for by Ameripac. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Folks, you know that the USCCA protects responsible gun owners if we're ever forced to use our weapons in self-defense. Recently, a USCCA member witnessed his neighbor being assaulted in his front yard. He drew his weapon to stop the threat and was arrested, even though he never fired a shot. Would you know what to say to the police and what not to say if this happened to you? Visit BeThereProtector.com for the USCCA's free guide, The 6 Things You Didn't Know Would Happen When the Police Arrive. That's BeThereProtector.com.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
Thank you. This is Armed American Radio.
Doesn't help to have guns owned by only good people because bad people still get them.
Yeah, that's exactly why we need it.
Now, back to the man defending your Second Amendment rights,
Mark Walters.
From the Crossbreed Holster Studios, welcome back to this hour of Armed American Radio's monster broadcast being heard in hundreds of cities around the country. Thanks for tuning in. Lots to talk with you about. Let's go right back to the phones, the Crossbreed Holster Hotline, the Second Amendment Foundation Hotline. We'll get to that in just a second because I want you to join, just like our letter writer did at the top of the hour, became a life member. It's only $150, SAF, for SecondAmendmentFoundation.org, and you can join. SAF.org, all of the information's right there. We want you to be a member. And boy, I'll tell you, we need you right now. The nation's preeminent organization fighting in courtrooms, battles on your behalf as an American gun owner, law-abiding citizen, every day in courtrooms across the country and around the world. Let's talk about that one first. The Mariana Islands. Boy, Alan, let me start with this. Back in March, Obama appointee Justice Ramona Manglona, Chief Judge of the District Court of the Northern Mariana Islands, quoting now from Stephen Gutowski's piece in April of 2016, just a few months back, struck down the island chain's law against handgun ownership and some of the restrictions it imposes on other kinds of firearms ownership. And then they went ahead and passed a $1,000 tax on all handguns unanimously afterwards, and that went to court. What happened out there from beginning to now, and where do we stand in the Marianas?
Well, of course, the first suit that knocked out the ban in entirety was a Second Amendment Foundation suit.
Right.
And that set the stage for this. And the same judge heard the other case as well when they put in their $1,000 tax on a handgun, making it cost prohibitive for many people to be able to get a gun in the Mariana Islands. And the judge ruled that that was also a violation of her first ruling. It was just as unconstitutional and struck that law down as well, along with a whole bunch of other provisions besides the $1,000 tax that they put in place. All went down in flames. So, you know, while it is around the world, the Mariana Islands is still a U.S. territory. It has U.S. judges, and the case law there is part of the Ninth Circuit, case law in the United States as a whole in the mainland. And it's a very important ruling for all of us because it's actually the last place in the United States to have a handgun ban, absolute handgun ban, struck down. And now we have a precedent of that. You can't tax it out of existence either at $1,000. So that's a good sign as well. And at shutting down, a lot of the anti-gunners have been trying to push for taxes on guns. Oh, we can't ban them, but we can tax them out of existence. And so this just knocked that down as well.
All right. And what the judge said, the ruling is 55 pages long. I've read it all. Obviously, I don't have time to go through this, but I'll give you just a couple of lines here. The Second Amendment, as applied to the Northern Mariana Islands through the covenant, protects the right to armed self-defense in case of confrontation. Laws that burden the right will generally be upheld if they, one, prevent individuals who should not have firearms, example, violent felons and the mentally ill, from getting them, license requirements, etc. Number two, do not burden conduct necessary for the use of lethal force when justified, talking about storage requirements with carrying exceptions, and or number three, burden self-defense lightly but significantly reduce criminal activity. She says, however, laws that burden the Second Amendment's right cannot survive if they lack a sound rationale, are not supported by evidence, completely destroy the right to armed self-defense, no matter the importance of the government's interest. And she gave examples of public carry bans, transportation restrictions, or number four, attempt to destroy the right through ordinarily legitimate means, example, the $1,000 excise tax. So this judge nailed it, and good for her. Quickly, because I want to move on to the ruling up in the Second Circuit, and the suit against Remington and others. This is a great ruling for us, sets precedent, and for us moving forward, God forbid, in a Clinton administration, this ruling helps us?
Well, every ruling helps us. The Renzulli Law Firm in New York City that handled this case on behalf of Remington for their firearm they own now, Bushmaster Firearms, which was the firearm used at Sandy Hook. And it's
right.
Between the manufacturers, the distributors, and the dealers because, quote-unquote, the gun was used in a crime. And there's a federal law that says that these kinds of suits cannot be brought, for somebody who's misusing a lawful product. And so it started out in court. It was moved to dismiss. The judge wouldn't dismiss it. It was moved to be remanded to federal court. The federal courts kicked it back down to the state court. Why, I'm not 100% sure. And the same judge who ruled against us earlier than after reviewing it all said that, in fact, the law is pretty clear that these kinds of actions are nuisance suits, harassment of the firearms industry with the intent to try and destroy gun makers and sellers from being able to be in business. And they have no standing to sue under the law and threw it out. That's a good sign for us. It's also in Connecticut with a judge who's not exactly friendly to gun rights, tends to be hostile, but couldn't get around what the law really says. It's pretty plain, and it was a very good key victory, and I really congratulate the Renzulli Law Firm for sticking with it and getting this victory for the firearms industry, because it's going to affect everybody.
Yeah, now, in a nutshell, listener, I don't want you to be confused about what you're hearing. Sometimes when we're talking about some of these court cases, it can get a little confusing with some of the terminology. And all. What essentially happened in layman's terms, in a nutshell, is after Sandy Hook, the manufacturer of the Bushmaster was sued, the weapon that Adam Lanza used to murder those innocent people in Sandy Hook at the school, and including his mother. He murdered his mother to steal her arm. And then, of course, there was a lawsuit filed against the manufacturer as if they were somehow responsible for the criminal actions and misuse of that lawfully owned and purchased firearm by his mother, who he murdered to get her hand. Now, I want you to think about this in terms of this being an automobile. Imagine if everybody who was harmed by a drunk driver could turn around and sue Ford or sue Chevy for the illegal use or misconduct by using that automobile. This was designed specifically to bankrupt that company, and that's what Hillary Clinton wants to do. She's now, Alan, she came out publicly and stated that this is just ludicrous. We're talking about the Protection of Lawful Commerce and Arms Act, the PLCAA, which protects gun manufacturers from being sued in instances where the gun in question was legally made and sold. And that's a quote from AWR Hawkins and Breitbart News. To think otherwise, I mean, you got to scratch your head to see the logic from the other side that thinks it's okay. Clearly, they have an agenda to push when they push a suit like this, right?
Oh, definitely. And again, Hillary Clinton said she wants to abolish this law that protects firearms industry from these frivolous kinds of lawsuits, mainly because when her husband was president, the anti-gun groups, you know, filed all these kinds of suits like this, cost the firearms industry a whole lot of money, bankrupted a number of firearms companies in the process because they couldn't afford the legal fees. That's why Congress passed this law to start with to stop this from happening. And now she wants to go back to, you know, trying to bankrupt the firearms industry so that you and I and your listeners can't be able to buy a gun because no one will be around to make them.
Yeah, you know, I'll give you a real-life example. The first little handgun I ever bought, and I've told this story many times, was a 25 caliber Raven Arms. Little tiny, I think I paid about $49 for that gun because right out of college, that's all I could afford. Okay? It was not, you know, the most effective weapon, but it gave me a sense of security. I walked different with it. I was felt a little bit better when I went into certain areas when I was doing the job that I had to do at the time, Alan. And, of course, that gun would later be used by a 12-year-old student down in Fort Lauderdale who would murder his teacher with his grandfather's 25 caliber Raven semi-automatic. And the teacher's name was Barry Grunow. As a result, Raven Arms was sued out of business. It's crazy. But that's what happened, and this was designed to protect it. Alan Gottlieb, thank you, my friend. We're getting ready to end this half hour of Armed American Radio. I appreciate everything you're doing. I know how busy you are. We won't see you for the next couple weeks, but we'll be looking forward to bringing you back when your time permits, okay?
Deal. Thanks a lot for everything you do.
Alan Gottlieb, Second Amendment Foundation, SAF.org. You know that court case we were just talking about in the Mariana Islands? That's the Second Amendment Foundation in action, like that, in courtrooms across the nation. Coming up next, former president of the National Rifle Association, David Keene. This is going to be a very, very powerful half hour. We'll be right back. Hi, it's Mark, and I'm sure you know I'm a proud supporter of our Second Amendment right to bear arms. That's also why I'm a member of the USCCA. In fact, I'm member number 32, one of the first there was, and it's the USCCA whose sole purpose is protecting responsibly armed Americans like you and me. And right now, the USCCA is giving you the chance to win the gun you've had your eye on for years with their Dream Gun Giveaway. 10 lucky winners will receive $1,500 to purchase any gun they want. So what gun is calling your name? Maybe it's a classic handgun. Maybe you're thinking about a brand new rifle or shotgun for hunting season. Or maybe it's your very first gun that you buy to protect your loved ones. There are no restrictions. You can pick any gun, any brand, in any caliber. Just visit WinDreamGun.com to enter today. And remember, since they're drawing 10 winners, you have 10 chances to win. Your entry to win your dream gun is quick, simple, and free. Just visit WinDreamGun.com right now. That's WinDreamGun.com right now.
I don't think I need to tell you this, but I'm going to anyway. When it comes to concealed carry, a smart shooter is a prepared shooter. And going to the range and shooting at a target just isn't enough. While training is important, you need something more. And that's why 135,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry magazine. To pick up where training at the range leaves off, expect life-saving information on every page, every issue. Whether it's unbiased gun and gear reviews or real stories of self-defense, from real people who carry concealed every day. You'll stay up to date on the latest training drills and laws regarding your right to carry your firearm. And for a limited time, when you start your subscription, you'll automatically be entered to win one of four brand new guns. But this won't last long. So go to the number one of the number four guns.com right now to begin your subscription and claim your chance to win your dream gun. That's one of four guns.com.
Hi everybody, Mark Walters here. Folks, whether you carry a gun already or are even considering it, and this is very serious business, one of the most important steps that you can take is to join the nation's number one resource for the armed citizen, the United States Concealed Carry Association, the USCCA. They sponsor the show, you know who they are. Folks, now is the time to learn how to protect yourself, your family, your property, and your business with a concealed weapon, because you never know when you may need to. The USCCA is designed specifically for those of us who have chosen to take our personal defense very seriously. I've put together special membership offers for the Armed American Radio listeners, you, at jointheuscca.com. That's jointheuscca.com. Now is the time to join the USCCA and take advantage of the incredible resources available only at the USCCA. That's jointheuscca.com. These are troubling times in America, folks. Become a member today.
Do you have 2 minutes for a great tip concerning defensive firearms or the concealed carry lifestyle? Check out Into the Fray, a weekly video blog hosted by Kevin Michalowski, editor of Concealed Carry Magazine. Into the Fray covers every aspect of self-defense, from legal and ethical issues to the latest gear and tactics. Accurate, direct, and easy to share with all your friends. You can find every episode of Into the Fray at IntoTheFrayVideo.com. That's IntoTheFrayVideo.com. The USCCA Facebook page brings together nearly 2 million like-minded people, all of them interested in effective self-defense and the concealed carry lifestyle. Look for the official USCCA page on Facebook. Find the page, click the like button, and start learning all you can about becoming a responsibly armed American. And remember to share these great tips with all your other Facebook friends. The USCCA on Facebook, a great source for information on personal safety and so much more.
The following segment of Armed American Radio is proudly being sponsored by the Second Amendment Foundation. Join them, won't you, at saf.org.
saf.org. And a little bit of Mark Wills coming in. Coast to coast on the Armed American Radio Network, filling your prescription for freedom. I am Mark Walters from those toasty beaches of Florida all the way to those crab fishing vessels of Alaska. And a big fat welcome to WVFT, Freedom 93.3 FM. In Tallahassee, welcome to the program, WKOT-FM, Waimama, Florida. Not only to this program, but my daily show, Monday through Friday. You can hear it down there just a little bit south of Tampa, a little bit north of Sarasota. WKOT-FM from 6 to 7 p.m. every day, Armed American Radio's Daily Defense, the daytime incarnation of this program. And, of course, The Answer, 96.5 FM, The Answer in Little Rock. You join nearly 200 other radio stations. Great to have you with us. You're a part of the family, I can promise you that much. Okay, this next half hour is going to be huge. The book, Shall Not Be Infringed, The New Assaults on Your Second Amendment. Author, one of two authors, David Keene. Let me tell you a little bit about David Keene, not the least of which is I had the honor to welcome him and to share the stage with him at this year's Gun Rights Policy Conference just a few short weeks ago down in my hometown in Tampa, Florida. That was an honor. I think he was probably, as far as I'm concerned, one of the top three speeches of the day, even with the short amount of time that each speaker had. But a little bit of background about David Keene, former member or former president, if you will, of the National Rifle Association, remains on the NRA board and chairs the Publications Policy Committee and the National School Shield Program. From 1982 to 2011, Mr. Keene volunteered as the elected chairman of the American Conservative Union, the nation's oldest and largest grassroots conservative advocacy group. Is the major organizer of the annual Conservative Political Action Committee, CPAC, you know who they are, And, oh, I could go on and on. Let's do that. Let me tell you what else Mr. Keene does. He remains on the boards of the Center for the National Interest, the Constitution Project, and the Montana Policy Institute, and has served as the national chairman of Young Americans for Freedom, among other groups. He's been a John F. Kennedy Fellow at Harvard University's Institute of Politics, a First Amendment Fellow at Vanderbilt University's Freedom Forum, and a member of the board of directors at Duke University's Public Policy School. After he earned his law degree from the University of Wisconsin in 1970, he served as special assistant to Vice President Spiro Agnew during the Nixon administration, executive assistant to New York Senator Jim Buckley, and advisor to the presidential campaigns of Ronald Reagan, George H.W. Bush, Bob Dole, Mitt Romney, as well as many state and local campaigns. He's been writing for The Hill. He wrote for The Hill for more than 10 years, and he currently serves right now as the editor, the opinion editor at the Washington Times. And I could go on, but let's just say I'm very proud to have him here. Mr. David Keene, welcome to the show, my friend. Great to have you here.
Well, it's great to be with you. I appreciate it.
Boy, your book, let me tell you something. I pride myself on reading. I would never bring somebody on with something if I haven't read their book or haven't seen their movie or whatever the case may be. And admittedly, I had to work really quick because we had you booked fairly quick this week. But I poured through your book today, and let me tell you something. I could have I've talked about these things, David, and you lay out the case. Let's start, if we will, from the very beginning. I think that's the best place to go. First off, I couldn't get through the preface without taking enough notes to carry the interview, literally. We're in trouble, aren't we?
We are in trouble. This election, we've got the Supreme Court on the table. We've got the Second Amendment on the table. If, in fact, Mrs. Clinton wins the election, she's going to appoint somebody to the Supreme Court that if they don't actually reverse the Heller decision, which is the decision which ratified the founders' view that individual Americans have a right to keep and bear arms for self-defense purposes. If that is not reversed, it can still be eviscerated by liberals appointed both to the Supreme Court and to the lower courts. So we're in trouble there. That problem would increase if, in fact, we have a Democratic president with a Democratic Senate. You know, one of the things that's been going on in the last few years is that the Democratic national leadership has been attempting to do on the Second Amendment to their party what they managed to do on right to life and abortion questions over the last decade or so, which is to create a situation in which no elected Democrat can dare speak up on the other side. You know, the NRA's got maybe 30% of our members are Democrats. There are a lot of good Democrats at the state and local level who share our views on the Second Amendment. But the Democratic Party nationally has launched a jihad against gun ownership and are trying to make certain that Democrats around the country march in lockstep with that national leadership. And anybody who speaks up on the other side is in real trouble. Last year, and I think probably you and your listeners know Dave Clark, the sheriff of Milwaukee County in Wisconsin. Dave's a good friend of mine. I'm a Wisconsinite. He happens to be a Democrat. And in the last week of his primary for the sheriff's office in that county, Michael Bloomberg dumped $800,000 into that county sheriff's race to try and defeat him because they can't tolerate Democrats who are pro-Second Amendment. And that's one of the challenges that's making things so dangerous right now. Because at some point, of course, if you've got a fundamental right, you got to have protection for that right in both political parties as well as in the courts and elsewhere. And all of that is on the table and under threat right now. And that's not even to get into the question of what's happening internationally at the United Nations, which is the role that my friend Tom Mason played in writing this book, because Tom, for the last 15 years, has been following international attempts to restrict gun rights at the United Nations and has done that, has been there the entire time, knows exactly what's happened and, indeed, what kind of a role the Obama administration and Mrs. Clinton played in developing the arms trade treaty that this administration signed. So we've got problems, but you know, we've always had problems. This isn't the first time they've gone after our rights. I had the honor of serving as the president of the NRA from 2011 to 2013, which was when Barack Obama really went after gun rights, and when we had the fight in the Senate, we had the fights in the states and all of that. And when that started, everybody thought gun owners were going to lose. The anti-gunners won a few battles in one-party states, but they didn't win in the Senate. They haven't won, and it's because so many people who believe so strongly in the Second Amendment are willing to step up to the plate when the chips are down and fight for their rights.
You know, great point. And I've often said many, many times over the 8 years of this broadcast that gun control at the institutional level, and David, when I say institutional level, I mean at the federal level, I mean in the Senate, in the House, for the time being is dead for now, which is why we've seen Bloomberg shift and move to the states and begin dumping $50 million. And he's going to spend more into each individual state battles because they know where this battle is going to be waged. But having said that, we're now in the fight for our lives come November 8th. And, of course, we're starting to see some reverberations now regarding the Senate and changing hands. If that were to happen, we would be in some trouble. And I want to address those. We're going to run out of time in this segment to go too deep into it. But I will say this about your book. Again, Shall Not Be Infringed, The New Assaults on Your Second Amendment by David Keene and Thomas Mason was introduced or was released on October 1st. The book is available now. I picked up my copy today on Amazon. I've got the electronic version of it, and you can do the same thing, and I highly recommend it. It's a great read. But you talk about in here quite a bit about the Arms Trade Treaty,
right?
Part one, and then you mention the players, the courts, the change in the culture, and the lessons from Colorado, and then part two, the Arms Trade Treaty interference from abroad. And I've got some quotes I want to go into when we come back from that break, but in about 30 seconds, why is that so important? And we'll pick it up after the break.
It's important because as the anti-Second Amendment, anti-gun movement in this country has failed in the courts, has failed in the Congress, and has failed mostly in the states and in all of these other battles they've taken, they've looked for another way to get around our rights. And that way that's chosen is the international arena and the United Nations, where they've got a lot more friends than we have,
mm-hmm.
because we're the only country in the world that really gives this kind of protection to the right to self-defense and the right for people to keep and bear arms.
And that's standing in their way. We're getting ready to take a break, so here's how I'll close it out for this segment. The book, Shall Not Be Infringed, The New Assaults on Your Second Amendment. Authors David Keene, who is joining me right now and will stay for the next segment, and his co-author, Thomas L. Mason. Highly recommend it. Shall Not Be Infringed. I'll be back with David Keene right after this.
Picture this scenario. Two masked men break into your house. They're armed with weapons and a look of drug-fueled rage. To protect your family, you're forced to take matters into your own hands. You do what you have to. You pull the trigger. Minutes later, the police arrive and suddenly you're handcuffed and pushed into the back seat of a cop car. Pause there for a second. If this were to happen to you, would you know what to expect? Would you know exactly what to say to the police and what not to say? Would you know who to call? Every responsibly armed American needs to know the answer to those questions because, believe me, you don't want any surprises when the police arrive. Go to BeTheirProtector.com right now and get your copy of the USCCA's brand new free guide that'll reveal the six things you didn't know would happen when the police arrive. After a self-defense incident, knowing what to expect when the police show up can truly be the difference between freedom or a jail cell. Get your personal copy of this free guide right now at BeTheirProtector.com. That's BeTheirProtector.com.
Hi, it's Mark, and I'm sure you know I'm a proud supporter of our Second Amendment right to bear arms. That's also why I'm a member of the USCCA. In fact, I'm member number 32, one of the first there was, and it's the USCCA whose sole purpose is protecting responsibly armed Americans like you and me. And right now, the USCCA is giving you the chance to win the gun you've had your eye on for years with their Dream Gun Giveaway. 10 lucky winners will receive $1,500 to purchase any gun they want. So what gun is calling your name? Maybe
maybe it's a classic handgun. Maybe you're thinking about a brand new rifle or shotgun for hunting season. Or maybe it's your very first gun that you buy to protect your loved ones. There are no restrictions. You can pick any gun, any brand, in any caliber. Just visit WinDreamGun.com to enter today. And remember, since they're drawing 10 winners, you have 10 chances to win. Your entry to win your dream gun is quick, simple, and free. Just visit WinDreamGun.com right now. That's WinDreamGun.com right now.
The revolutionary Crossbreed Super Tuck holster is the most comfortable and concealable inside the waistband holster you'll ever wear, and nothing even comes close. Designed to completely conceal a firearm of any size and made to be worn with any attire, from shorts and a t-shirt to a suit and a tie. Based on your personal carry style, the Super Tuck may be worn comfortably with or without your shirt tucked in. Find out why the Crossbreed Super Tuck is the most often imitated but never duplicated holster design in the world. Visit CrossbreedHolsters.com today.
Hi, it's Mark, and I hope you're enjoying this week's broadcast. You know, over the last several weeks, you've heard me mentioning a website, usccaonair.com. We have some amazing sponsors here on this program, and one of them, the United States Concealed Carry Association, helped create this program. Since that time, just like Armed American Radio, the USCCA has exploded in growth to become the nation's number one resource for the responsibly armed citizen. The USCCA has also become famous for their promotions, as if you needed more incentive to join the United States Concealed Carry Association. Free guns, thousands of dollars in merchandise, and free ammunition, etc. to lucky promotion winners. You, too, can win by simply visiting the website usccaonair.com. usccaonair.com. That site is reserved for you as an Armed American Radio listener to keep you updated on their latest promotions. Now, I'll tell you about the promos on every program, but you can still check for yourself by visiting usccaonair.com. Don't miss out.
Folks, you know that the USCCA protects responsible gun owners if we're ever forced to use our weapons in self-defense. Recently, a USCCA member witnessed his neighbor being assaulted in his front yard. He drew his weapon to stop the threat and was arrested, even though he never fired a shot. Would you know what to say to the police and what not to say if this happened to you? Visit BeTheirProtector.com for the USCCA's free guide, The 6 Things You Didn't Know Would Happen When the Police Arrive. That's BeTheirProtector.com.
You're tuned in
to Armed American Radio.
Those who oppose any common sense gun control or gun safety measures have a pretty effective way of ginning up fear that somehow the federal government's about to take all your guns away.
Look, if you're a Democrat pulling the lever for gun grabbers, you're no friend of mine.
Protecting your right to bear arms.
Here is Armed American Radio's Mark Walters.
This from Ronald Reagan. And the quote is in the book, and the book is Shall Not Be Infringed, The New Assaults on Your Second Amendment by David Keene and Thomas Mason. And David Keene joins me now, and he quotes Ronald Reagan in the book, and I want to read this to you because it's so important and you need to hear it. This was from Ronald Reagan. Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same. Or one day we will spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was once like in the United States, where men were free. Now, Mr. Keene, I want to ask you this. I'm going to read a portion here because I got to pivot from in the essence of time. We know how important the treaty is, the Arms Trade Treaty, and you go into great detail about it in the book, Shall Not Be Infringed. Let me quote this. The importance of what another President Clinton would do cannot be overstated. If Heller is reversed, that right guaranteed by its decision will no longer exist. The limbo that existed prior to Heller, in which advocates and opponents of the right argued and decisions were made simply on policy grounds, will be resurrected. Just as important, if Heller is reversed, things do not go back to the way they were. Instead, the federal government will have the right to regulate, register, or eliminate firearms ownership, and gun owners will have no recourse. It is that simple. If Mrs. Clinton is elected president and has her way, the right to private ownership of firearms will cease to exist. That is frightening. Doesn't even begin to cover it. Take it away.
That's exactly right. The Second Amendment, as you know, says the government shall not infringe on the right to keep and bear arms. The Heller decision ratified that reading of the Second Amendment. Mrs. Clinton has said that she thought that decision was wrongly decided. The only question before the court was, do individual Americans as private citizens have a right to keep and bear arms? The government argued that no such right exists under the interpretation of the Second Amendment that they support. That's what she supports, and she goes beyond that because she said that the model for common sense gun firearms reform, in her mind, is Australia. And she actually praises and has praised in a couple of her speeches Australia's buyback program. She said, we've tried that, but theirs is more effective. Yeah, it's more effective because the buyback program, so-called in Australia, is you either turn in your gun, which you've previously registered, or you go to prison. And that's the kind of thing that Mrs. Clinton thinks is common sense gun reform. So you can expect that if she's elected, the Supreme Court is going to go after it. Does that mean that they automatically can take guns? No. It means that we no longer have a constitutional bar against banning handguns. They've still got to get it through Congress. They've still got to get money appropriated to do it. They've still got to overcome a lot of roadblocks that we have to fight to preserve. But that fight is going to be a lot tougher if they appoint a Supreme Court that says there's no constitutional right, no guarantee that they can't ban firearms, because then all bets are off. The idea of reasonable restrictions under strict scrutiny, as the court requires today, that would be gone. And they could do whatever they can get political support to do.
Yeah, you know, this stuff, I've got, my gosh, I'm going to put you on the spot on national radio. I've got to bring you back one more time because we've got so much more to talk with you about. Can you do
anytime,
that before the election?
Anytime.
Great, we'll go ahead and work that out.
Enough. I'll do almost anything and spend almost any amount of time to try and get this message out because it's incredibly important. And the only way we preserve our rights is by standing together and being willing to stand up when we need to do it.
Well said. You know, that's, by the way, listener, you're listening to the Lifetime Achievement Award winner at this year's 2016 Gun Rights Policy Conference also. So add that to that very impressive resume.
All you got to do is live long enough, that's all.
Well, I'll tell you what, I appreciate the direction you've taken in your lifetime fighting these fights because I don't know where we'd be if it wasn't for folks like you. Of course, in the first half hour, I had your good friend Alan Gottlieb on, a regular contributor to the program. But let me move over here to Kagan and Sotomayor. You also go into great detail here. They both declared, and you remind us in the book, is Shall Not Be Infringed. You remind us that Kagan and Sotomayor both declared Heller settled law during their Senate hearings.
Exactly.
And we don't let that one go. As you state in the book, neither has acted as if Heller were in fact settled law. Now, just recently, radio host Glenn Beck made it clear that voting for Hillary Clinton would be the moral decision over Donald Trump, stating what I believe to be nonsense, saying that we can always fight her by marching and we can use legislative battles. And my question to him is, you mean like the ones we've failed to use to succeed with Obama? He thinks that this is just magically going to fix itself. So I ask you this question. Do you trust the current makeup of the United States Senate to stop the appointment of yet another anti-gun judge made by Hillary Clinton if the Senate stays in its current form?
If she is elected, it would be almost incomprehensible that a new president's first appointment to the court, particularly when a vacancy existed, would be stopped unless it was so egregious, and she's not a stupid woman, so it's not going to be so egregious that there's a smoking gun, if you will, that they can use to reject the nominee. If she is elected president, she will in fact appoint the deciding vote on the Supreme Court, and as you know, may get a chance at a couple of others. You know, the interesting thing is if you remember her interview with Chris Wallace on Fox News, where she talked about the settled law as well. A Supreme Court justice up for confirmation will say, well, that's settled law. That means lower courts are supposed to observe it. But the Supreme Court, as Mrs. Clinton said at the end of her thing, of course, the Supreme Court can change that. Settled law is what the last court determined it to be. And the next court can change the whole thing, which is what they're hoping to do.
They're playing semantics is what they are.
Exactly.
And by doing that, they just give themselves, they're just flat out giving themselves plausible deniability, David, is all they're doing. And it works for them.
And you remember the media covered for Mr. Obama?
There you go.
When he ran in 2012, and he actually ran ads in some rural areas saying, I'll never take your gun, I'll never, you know, I'm a friend of the Second Amendment. Mrs. Clinton says she supports the Second Amendment. She doesn't want to abolish it. No, she wants to reinterpret it so it doesn't mean anything, which
well,
is
I tell you,
the moral equivalent of abolishing it.
The book Shall Not Be Infringed, The New Assaults on Your Second Amendment. You've been listening to one of the two authors of the book, David Keene, with an incredibly impressive resume. And David, I want to ask you this before we go. We're going to hear some music here in just a second. I'm going to ask you a tough question. You don't have to answer it. I completely understand. But for many years, I've said on this program that good, decent, hardworking, law-abiding Americans are getting closer and closer every day to eventually being forced to make a terrible decision, one they never thought they'd have to make in their lifetimes. Are we getting closer to that point?
Well, the country, the culture, the country, the way it's going, the country is certainly less stable than it has been in 100 years, and it's not getting any better.
Frightening words. Frightening words. David Keene, thank you for being here. I'll reach out to you this week. I'd like to bring you back to next week's program, if that's okay, and if it's all right, maybe keep you for the hour.
That would be fine. Not a problem.
Absolutely wonderful. Great. I appreciate that very much. You've been listening to the Armed American Radio Network Monster Broadcast. The book, you have to read this. We are literally running out of time. Shall Not Be Infringed, The New Assaults on Your Second Amendment. It's available wherever books are sold. If you're online, pick it up at Amazon.com. I picked up my e-copy today, and I couldn't put it down. I still have some more work to do to get through it all, but you heard just a taste of it here with the author, David Keene. Wow, amazing. Coming up next, AWR Hawkins from Breitbart News. Remember, carry on, carry often, carry absolutely everywhere. Never leave your cave without your club. Never find yourself in a gun-free zone. Armed American Radio's Monster Cop broadcast continues.
You've just filled your prescription for freedom
on Armed American Radio with Mark Walters, the loudest voice in America fighting for gun rights. If you'd like to contact the show or get more information, it would be great to hear from you. Just go online and visit armedamericanradio.com.
That's armedamericanradio.com.
Hi, everybody. Mark Walters here. Folks, whether you carry a gun already or are even considering it, and this is very serious business, one of the most important steps that you can take is to join the nation's number one resource for the armed citizen, the United States Concealed Carry Association, the USCCA. They sponsor the show. You know who they are. Folks, now is the time to learn how to protect yourself, your family, your property, and your business with a concealed weapon, because you never know when you may need to. The USCCA is designed specifically for those of us who have chosen to take our personal defense very seriously. I've put together special membership offers for the Armed American Radio listeners, you, at jointheuscca.com. That's jointheuscca.com. Now is the time to join the USCCA and take advantage of the incredible resources available only at the USCCA. That's jointheuscca.com. These are troubling times in America, folks. Become a member today.
I don't think I need to tell you this, but I'm going to anyway. When it comes to concealed carry, a smart shooter is a prepared shooter. And going to the range and shooting at a target just isn't enough. While training is important, you need something more. And that's why 135,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine. To pick up where training at the range leaves off, expect life-saving information on every page, every issue. Whether it's unbiased gun and gear reviews or real stories of self-defense from real people who carry concealed every day. You'll stay up to date on the latest training drills and laws regarding your right to carry your firearm. And for a limited time, when you start your subscription, you'll automatically be entered to win one of four brand new guns. But this won't last long. So go to the number one of the number four guns.com right now to begin your subscription and claim your chance to win your dream gun. That's one of four guns.com.